Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. That's from Joel. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, from Matthew. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, from Colossians. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I have to share this. As I was in my office this morning, I got a knock on the door, and it was Kip. And he came in. He said, "Have you been listening to the choir practice?" And I said, "Well, no, I've kind of had things happening." And except when I heard their voices in the distance, he said, "Because what they sang, especially at the end, it should have sounded familiar to you. That was our call to worship this morning. His steadfast love endures forever." Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's give God the glory for all of how God works in our lives. Can I hear an amen and a woohoo? Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord God, this morning I am filled with excitement to share your word. Lord God, may we all stay awake and alert to the word that you would share with us today, because questions are going to be asked that are important. Lord God, may we engage the questions and follow your lead in the answer. It's in great love for you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we pray. Amen. So, a big question. You look to the future. What is your dream for your life? What is the vision for what you want to accomplish in your life? And the place goes quiet. That's okay. It's a big question, okay? It's almost as big as what is the meaning of life, right? What are your dreams and visions? It's an important question to ask, and it's one that, you know, some of us write things down when we think about that, and I encourage you to do so. That helps you to focus. You might do that when you go home. What are my dreams and visions for my life? Some people put a name to such a list of dreams and visions. They call it a bucket list, right? And it has that nomenclature, it has that identification, because the idea is these are things that you're wanting to do in your life before you kick the bucket, before you die, hence bucket list. And a lot of people have made lists, made bucket lists like that. All you have to do is go on the internet, go on Google, and Google bucket list, and oh, you got page after page where you can click on different sites where they have over hundreds of things that people want to do. Some of them I can't mention because they're crazy, crazy, crazy things. But, you know, there are things like going skydiving. How many have gone skydiving? Okay, I see a few hands. Well, you can scratch that off your bucket list. Go exploring a cave. I've done that. Go on a zip line. And I just to clarify that, I don't think they mean like a little bitty zip line like at a park, but a really long zip line. That's kind of why it's on the bucket list. Or to go traveling to exotic places. Do you understand what that bucket list is all about? It really is writing down dreams and visions. On my bucket list, I would like to go to certain places. I would like to travel across this country. I would love to go to Ireland. Some of you, you know that feeling. I don't know what it is. I out of any country, Ireland, I do want to go to the Holy Land too with all my heart. So those are places I'm wanting to go. But, you know, really, I want to spend more time with my grandkids. That's on my bucket list, so to speak. If you don't like calling a list of all your dreams and visions a bucket list, I understand that. It kind of puts a, kind of, it connects our mortality to that. Just call it a vision and dream list. I encourage you to write those things down, because what that allows you to do when you write down your dreams and visions is it helps to focus you. Why do you do the things that you do? all your jobs that you're working, what are you working for? Your retirement that you're enjoying, what is going on in your retirement that's guiding you? What is feeding your heart? What is driving you to accomplish? Now, there's someone else that has a dream and vision for your life. You know who that is, don't you? It is. It's Jesus Christ has a dream and a vision for your life. A God-sized vision for your life. And what we're going to talk about today is how our hearts can be made more open to discerning and living that God-sized vision that God has for us, the dreams that God has for us both now and the people that we will become. And one way that we can have our hearts opened is, you know what I'm going to say, it's in the practice of extravagant generosity. I heard that in a little bit of form out there. I heard like, generosity. Extravagant generosity, exactly. And let's have a little bit of a recap because it's important to know what we're talking about here when we talk about generosity and extravagant generosity. Now, as I've shared with you, we are inspired in this message series by the writings of the Bishop of the Rio Texas Conference, Bishop Robert Schnazy, and because he's written several books on this topic because it underlies all his other spiritual practices that he writes books about. But it really is key to our understanding a way to live our life as faithful disciples and apostles of Jesus Christ. So if we understand generosity as an unselfish willingness to share ourselves, our time, talents, and treasures, so that this world will be transformed for the better while with the purpose of sharing Jesus Christ, then extravagant generosity is generosity that is more, right? It's more than we could ever have expected. And what we've learned about extravagant generosity is that our practice of extravagant generosity, well, that's an indicator about how spiritually healthy we are, how spiritually vital we are, and how we share ourselves with others. You could say that the more we practice extravagant generosity, the healthier our spiritual EKG could be. Something else that we discovered last week is the reason why that practice shows our spiritual health and vitality. It's because underlying extravagant generosity is that wonderful fruit of the Spirit that we call love. And love is all through extravagant generosity because extravagant generosity comes from the heart. And it's part of the character of our heart as we share and we change other lives. Today, we're going to be grappling with how our dreams and visions, how God's dreams and visions for us are all related to extravagant generosity. So God has dreams and visions for us. Do you believe it? The scripture says it is so. That's what we heard today in the wonderful words of the prophet Joel, wasn't it? That Alice shared with us. We will dream dreams. We will have visions. That's an incredible promise. And does it sound a mite familiar to you from maybe another place in Scripture? Yeah, when you remember every Pentecost, we talk about the Holy Spirit coming down, you know, the tongues of fire and the rushing wind. Well, then Peter is inspired to give his very first sermon, a very successful sermon, I might add. 3,000 people saved by Jesus, right? But what he does is he incorporates the prophet Joel's words. And that's how we can know, part of how we can know that God has dreams for us and that God inspires visions in us. We all have dreams and visions. But your dream of the future, your vision of the future, as I hold up my crooked finger, may not exactly be God's dream and vision for your future, right? It may be, but it may not. Because your dream and vision for the future might be to buy that new boat to go fishing on Truman Lake. Your dream and vision of the future might be to save up enough to enjoy a comfortable retirement. Your dream and vision might be to make sure your kids get out of school. Your dream and vision is your very own. It's what guides you. It's what feeds you. But God has a vision for you too. And in order to begin to discern that vision, well, then we have to experience a transformation of a heart, or the disposition, I'll say, of our heart. And this is where we hear words of great wisdom from the scripture that Alice shared with us earlier. I repeat these words from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. So if you have been raised with Christ, and friends, it is my hope and prayer that all of us in this room have been raised with Christ. Amen. Are you raised with Christ? Those of you online, you in the corner online, I see you. Okay. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And so what Paul is talking about here is that when you are truly raised with Christ, then your motivations and how you live your life are not just formed by you alone. They are Jesus formed. They are Spirit formed. They are God formed. When you put your attention, when you place your heart on those things that are above. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount fleshes that out even more. What does it look like to seek the things that are above? Well, Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom of God, the reality of God's shalom and wholeness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right relationship with God, our right relationship, our together relationship with God. And all these things will be given to you as well. So many times I think, I won't put you on the line, I'll put myself on the line. I would read this once upon a time and might think, well, if I'm a good follower of Jesus and I pray just right, then I'll get whatever I want. Because in just the very act of praying, why, that's seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. And so God should give me what I want. But what this is really saying is when you are truly seeking God's kingdom, when you are truly seeking all that puts you in right relationship with God, then your whole motivation for what you think you want, your whole desire changes to be that of what God wants for you. Amen? Extravagant generosity can help us to seek those things that are above. They can help us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness in the very practice of extravagant generosity. And think about extravagant generosity. We could talk about it, but really talking about it, knowing about it, it's in the doing, the engaging of extravagant generosity that really causes a change in our heart. The Gospel of Luke lifts up several people where this is the case, but I only share two. In Luke 21, in the very first four verses, we hear the story of Jesus and his disciples at the temple and their people watching. And what they're doing as they're people watching is they're watching people come into the courtyard and they're putting their offering into this loud little trumpet thing looking thing, which is where you put your offering. And when you put your coins in there, that makes a lot of noise. You know, some people would come in with bags and they'd throw that in there and it was the proto-noisy buckets, which, by the way, we're going to be bringing that back, just to let you know. Friends that don't know, that was a custom here where we would pass around a noisy bucket during worship for missional giving. We'll have to figure out a way where we can do that and not interrupt Kathy's playing during offertory time. We'll figure that out. But The whole point is, it made a lot of noise. Jesus pointed out one person who did not make a lot of noise. And that was a poor widow that came into the courtyard. And she put in 2 coins that didn't make any noise. And Jesus, as his disciples are talking around him, he stops and he goes, look over there. You see that woman? She, out of all the people that have been giving today, she gave more than anybody. Because everybody has been giving a part of what they've had. They still have some more to spare in their life, but she gave everything that she had. And Jesus was lifting up, it's not the amount, it's the proportion of what you're sharing. That woman gave all that she had, and she was living out her vision. And what was her vision in her life? That no matter what, God would take care of her. And so she could give in faith. A few chapters earlier, first 10 verses of Luke 19, one of our favorite characters, we like to even sing a song about him. About the short man, the tax collector that hides behind the branches of a sycamore tree, up in the tree, Zacchaeus. As he watches Jesus walk by in his entourage, Jesus sees him anyway and he calls him down. He says, Zacchaeus, we are going to party at your house tonight. So Zacchaeus, his heart overflowing with love, not only throws an outrageously awesome party, but then he says, Lord, I love you. I'm going to give to the poor, and I'm going to pay back even more to those that I've cheated, because that's kind of the way a tax collector operated, was cheating. But can you see what happened? From a scared man in a tree to now someone whose heart is opened up. People knew that he was a follower of Jesus. How? By living his vision of extravagant generosity. And it was in the practicing of extravagant generosity that his heart was changed. And that's how our dreams and visions can change, so that we can discern what God's vision is for our life. Because we need God's vision in our life. Our dreams and visions, they might come together. It may be God's plan for you to have that boat on Truman Lake, maybe to witness to somebody on the water. It may be God's vision for you to use your retirement to serve in the food pantry, or in the thrift store. There are many ways that God uses and incorporates what our dreams and visions are too. But it's important to be intentional and to discern what God's vision for our life is, because what happens is our dreams and visions for our life kind of get us stuck. Have you noticed that? We say, I would like to earn this much money by the time that I'm 30. How many times have I heard people, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30? This pastor chuckles. But the thing is that people do make those plans and then they get disappointed. Or let's say they do become a millionaire, but it ain't ever enough, right? How many times have we gotten something that we said we wanted, but it's never enough? It starts when we're kids and we ask for that toy for Christmas and we get it and we play with it and we break it. And then we forget about it. That kind of carries through life. We want things. We're hungry for things. We think things will make us happy. But God is the author of our happiness. Jesus Christ, the perfecter of our faith, the Spirit that fills us. And one of the things that living a life of extravagant generosity can do as our priorities adjust to God's priorities is that it allows us to be content with what we have as we are able to give even more in service and in material wealth. I love the words that Paul shares with the church in Philippi. He's writing from jail. shows you how he's been giving his life and you know, the danger and the risks that he's been in. But this is Paul, who was a very ambitious man. Paul, who had a lot of plans and dreams and visions for his life as a Pharisee, as a member of the Sanhedrin. He was somebody that had his own dreams. Somebody who thought he knew what the vision for his life would be, but he had that Jesus 2x4 whop him upside the head on the road to Damascus, and his life changed. But it was a life of continual learning. He says, not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. And my favorite verse, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is what extravagant generosity can open us up for. So friends, I would ask you to bring to your heart now, what do you think that God's dream is for you? What is God's vision for you? Write down your dreams and visions, and then be in prayer of what God's dreams and visions are for you. God has a dream and vision for our church too. We know that our mission is to make new followers of Jesus for the transformation of the world, right? Right? And we know what our vision is too, don't we? And that is to connect with, in a Jesus-centered life. Connect with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life. Exactly. And look, and I'm just so filled with joy about where we have been practicing extravagant generosity and realizing that vision. So right now, I'm going to invite those of you who have not only been in leadership, but have also been actually sharing extravagantly in our ministries for our cans of cranberries and for our Operation Christmas Child boxes, to come forward up in this area as we join together in blessing these items to the Lord our God. So as quick as you want to come. And you guys, make that camera move, because I'm going to stand in the middle of them. There are 604 cans that were collected. Our goal was initially 100. Barb Bennett's Triple Dog Dare goal was 400. We are 604. And how many Operation Christmas Child boxes do we have?
150.
150, yeah. So for those of you that don't know, these wonderful cans of cranberry sauce will be donated to our Shepherd Food Pantry for the Thanksgiving meal that will be provided. I got to tell you, these will go just like that, even though other churches are providing these too. That's just because we've got a lot of hungry people. But a lot of hungry people will now be able to have cranberry sauce. And for Operation Christmas Child, these boxes are filled with items and gifts of love to share Jesus Christ with children all over the world. It's been a ministry that we've been a part of for years, and it's a blessing. So I invite us all now, even if you're out there, to put your hands this way toward the center. Okay, looking over there too. Loving God, we just thank you for the gifts of cranberry sauce that makes every Thanksgiving meal complete. Lord God, even though you made this pastor not to be fond of cranberry sauce, I'm going to eat some this Thanksgiving because of what you provide. We give you thanks. Now we provide for others. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that ministry. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to bless these cans and those that they will feed. Lord God, we also would ask for your Holy Spirit's blessing on these gifts and these Operation Christmas Child boxes and all that they provide. Lord God, that child will come to know you The child will have great joy when they open up these boxes and know that other people love them. Oh, loving God, we are so thankful to be a part of this extravagant generosity. It's in your precious name, whom we love, that we pray. Amen. All right, you may all be seated, because I got some more stuff to share with you. So, we've got this new ministry going on called The Table. And The Table is a new worship service that we are hosting in, or actually it's being hosted by the Brick House Coffee Shop down on the square. And it's been amazing. We had 18 people this past Wednesday that came and worshiped with us. If you look on my Facebook page, then you'll see some pics and even a video of worship during that time. It's been an amazing time, and we are doing something that no other church in Harrisonville is doing, and that is to provide worship out in the world for people to come and to do things differently in a neutral place, in a wonderful place. We have a wonderful relationship with the Brick House, so thankful for our partnership with them, and I'm just so thankful for extravagant generosity all around. We are able to be there because of the extravagant generosity of our church members. But even more than that, the Missouri Conference also has shown a belief in our vision for this new ministry. I got the good word last week that we have been awarded a $5,000 grant for the Table Ministry. Now, I wrote another grant that I'm waiting to hear from for about $4,000. That'll be awesome, but we're so thankful. Thankful for the trust that our Missouri Annual Conference puts in us. By the way, that's why we pay apportionments. For those who are wondering, it's apportionments that help to make those grants available. So we'll be talking about that some other message time. As we are coming to the close of this message, I would just say to you that next week is a special Sunday. It's Thanksgiving Sunday, and we are going to be thanking our Lord in amazing ways. We've begun this Sunday in doing so. But next Sunday is also Consecration Sunday. Many of you received a letter in the mail, and in that letter you received a commitment card, and you probably got one on your way in. It's a generosity card. I would just ask that if you feel the call in your heart to do so, that you would fill this out. The front just asks a lot of your information, but on the back it asks of different ministries that you'd like to be a part of as well. But I would, next week we are going to collect these cards, or at least the bottom portion of it, and this will help us to know how we are to finance ministries for our church next year. So this is a way of showing your extravagant generosity and going in faith and what you might be able to give. If, you know, what some people say to me, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to give what I want to. That's okay. This is part of a dream, right? And this is what gets us going forward. Sometimes we're blessed and we're able to give even more. Sometimes we experience hard times and are not able to. But this is just part of the dream, that what you might be able to support in our ministries and in your giving for 2023. Friends, we all have dreams and visions of ourselves. Some of them are self-led. They're motivated by keeping up with the Joneses or some other motivation that gets us stuck sometimes. But God has dreams and visions for us. And my prayer for all of us is that God's dreams and visions will become our dreams and visions. And in that way, we will change this world. May it be so. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.